you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
From the hamlet of Edinburgh in Scotland, this is Obscure, Season 3, Wuthering Heights. I am your host, your friend, your ear lover, your literary mansplainer-in-chief, and Georgianologist Michael Ian Black, Southern Gentleman Esquire, just arrived in the Bonnie Highlands of Scotland, having undergone a considerable journey. Felt longer than I was anticipating, and involved a little bit of stress as I misplanned my flight from Savannah to Atlanta. Did not give myself enough time to transfer in Atlanta to my flight to London, and ended up like one of those jerks you see running through the airport, wheeling their suitcase, panting, screaming, "Out of my way, out of my way, I have a flight to catch." I couldn't scream because I was so out of breath after about 2 gates. You know, that first gate, you're running by it and you think, "Oh, I'm going to be fine." By the second gate, I'm out of breath. I'm thinking, well, they're just going to have to leave without me because I can't run all the way. Well, you hear that? I don't know if you hear that sound. It's something scary outside my window there here in Edinburgh. I thought, well, I'm not going to make it, so they're just going to have to leave without me. Because I had to get from one end of the airport to the other. And as you probably know, Atlanta is one of the biggest airports in the world. And it's busy as heck and so much trouble getting from one end to the other. But I did make it, got on my flight, and I was probably, oh, I don't know, halfway across the Atlantic Ocean before I realized, oh, I forgot to bring my copy of Wuthering Heights. And I felt like a real heel, you know, sitting there in my economy class seat, trying to get through whatever movie I was half watching and not enjoying. And, it was terrible. It was a terrible, terrible moment of realization. Shame washed over me. Because here I am. I promised you. I said, the next episode of Wuthering Heights going to be from Edinburgh. Going to be from Scotland. And I kept my promise. But I'm not... you hear all that noise? I'm on a... Maybe you can't hear it. It's traffic, I guess. I'm just off a kind of busy road here in Edinburgh. So I said I'm gonna do an episode. The next one you'll hear will be from Scotland, and here I am keeping my promise, but I don't have the book to read. So I feel like I'm a little bit at a loss here because I can't read the book. And I thought, well, I'll just get a PDF. You know, I'll just grab it. There's probably a PDF of Wuthering Heights I can grab, but it just felt like cheating. You know, if I don't have that, if I don't have that copy, my original paperback copy, the Bantam classic of the great American novel, Wuthering Heights, and I'm reading off some digital archive, I don't know. It feels like cheating to me, and I don't like feeling like a cheater. Didn't sleep much on the flight, and did take an Ambien. Brought an Ambien with me, thinking, well, I'll take an Ambien. That'll help me sleep. I'll get some rest, and I won't be so tired when I get there. Well, I took the Ambien, and it didn't really help me sleep, but I tell you what it did do is it really made me eat. So on this Virgin Atlantic flight, they gave me a meal, and then in my Ambien haze, I snuck up to first class, and they've got like a bar set up there with snacks and stuff. So I just grabbed a bunch of snacks, thinking, oh, they probably won't stop me. And they didn't. So I got a bag of pretzels, and I got some sort of orangey chocolatey thing, and just cramming my face full of free airplane food in my Ambien haze. I don't even remember the movies I was trying to watch. I couldn't focus on them. You know, they're probably very good movies. Probably terrific movies. I can't even remember what they were. I know one of them was Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, and I couldn't follow it. I was just too hazed out. And then I took that off and put on something that I thought was going to be a little more easy to follow. And I can't even remember what that was. Even that proved to be too much for me. And then I spent the rest of the night, and what I did is I purchased Wi-Fi. And I spent the rest of the night playing poker online in my Ambien-induced haze. That didn't go well either, you know, because I was playing poker while on drugs. So we landed in London, and then I had to go from Heathrow to King's Cross, which is all the way on the other side of London. And I had to take the underground to get there. And so to get from there to there, that's about an hour. Then from there, I had to take a train to Edinburgh. That's 4.5 hours. Sitting on a cramped train, totally full of people. German guy sitting kitty corner from me, talking to, I couldn't tell if it was, they weren't married. I don't think they were married. And it wasn't even, were they co-workers? Was she his mistress? Was he her mistress? Were they in the early stages of dating? It was very unclear to me what their relationship was, but he wouldn't shut up, you know? And at first it wasn't obvious that he was German. His English was very good, but not perfect. And every once in a while you would hear a little something, you know, just a little something. Even what I'm doing right now is a little bit too much. And then so a sort of American inflected English, and she was American, and he just wouldn't shut up. He just kept like talking about things. And there was just something in his intonation that I was like, this guy is not American. And then eventually I figured out that he was German. Then it all made sense because Germans are annoying. And she wasn't doing much talking at all, but he had like Prosecco that he brought on the train. And then he kept asking if she wanted the hash browns. He brought hash browns. Hash browns and Prosecco, I'm sorry, that's a weird combination to bring on a train. I didn't approve of it. I didn't approve of him. I certainly didn't approve of her for being with him because, as I said, he was a nuisance. And I'm not, and they had this giant hard-backed suitcase. You know, it almost looked military. And it was just right there planted in the aisle, in the train aisle. And people were having to navigate around this thing. And at one point, a woman said, do you think you'd like to put it up? Do you think you'd like to put it up? And he said, no, it's better here because it doesn't fit. It's too heavy. It's too hard. And she just let it go. I was so annoyed. You know, and the girl across from me, I could tell was annoyed too, because she was pretending to sleep the whole way. She wasn't sleeping. She's probably about 15, probably annoyed with me too, just for existing. I don't blame her. I was annoyed with me by that point. I was like, I probably smell bad. I probably look bad. I certainly have nothing to contribute conversationally or otherwise. I don't want to talk to these people, and they didn't want to talk to me. 4.5 hours of this. And then these two young girls, Asian girls, came on the train, and on these trains, you get assigned seating. I was in Coach G, seat 35, right? No problem. I find Coach G. I sit down in Coach in seat 35. And the girls go, you're in my seat. And I said, and I showed them. I'm like, look, I'm in Coach G, seat 35. And she said, and they looked confused and distraught. And they said, well, I guess we can just sit back here, right on the seats behind you. And I thought, yeah, you're damn right you can. It says right here on my ticket. That's where I'm supposed to sit. Well, turns out I'm the asshole in this situation, because when I looked a little closer at my ticket, now I'm recording this on August 9th, right? The ticket that I had purchased, I, for some reason, purchased it for August 17th. I purchased a train ticket for 8 days from now to get me to my destination. Why did I do this? I don't know. The same reason I couldn't figure out how to plan how much time to leave myself to get from one end of the airport in Atlanta to the other. Because I'm a fucking idiot. And so my plan was, when the ticket taker came around, I was going to say, my assistant must have printed out the wrong ticket. I was going to fob off this mistake on my fictional assistant. Oh, I got this new girl, Kathy, and she, I don't know, I told her my dates. And, you know, I'm heading out of the office. She hands me my itinerary. She hands me my tickets. Somehow she screwed it up. Well, she's going to get a real tongue lashing when I get back. But then I felt guilty. I felt guilty for throwing my fictional assistant under the bus. I really did. I was like, oh, I can't do that to Kathy. Keep in mind, Kathy doesn't exist. I said, I can't do that. I have to own my own mistakes. You know, I can't lie. I can't be the ugly American here. And so when the ticket taker came around, I just admitted the truth. And I said, can I buy a ticket now on the train? And he said, we'll get you sorted out. And he did. And he even told me how to get my ticket refunded. Nice fella. They're going on strike on Saturday. All these trains, I guess, train operators, drivers, all the people are going on strike all over the place. All kinds of problems here in the UK with the trains. And the nice people. 4.5 hours rolling through really the picturesque countryside, the English countryside, really lovely. But when your knees have been at an acute angle for the last 7, 8, 9 hours, and you want nothing more than to just flap your elbows around and stretch your legs and move about and do the hokey pokey, and you can't because you're crammed into one of those little British trains, my God, I was feeling so antsy, so uncomfortable, so out of sorts. We will return in just a jiffy on Obscure.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you.
Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. Finally, we arrive in Edinburgh. And I have to go from there to a taxi stand to get a taxi to come to this Airbnb where I'm staying. Now, the Airbnb is fine, okay? It's dumpy. Don't get me. It's a dumpy Airbnb. What I imagine a CIA safe house looks like, you know? Just bare bones. Just, hey, you come in here, nobody's going to shoot you. And that's the best that can be said for the place. So that's where I am. And that's where I'm recording from. Haven't slept in quite a long while. And I have a show to go to in a couple hours. And I wanted to get this done before I go out to the show. My friend Joe Stapleton is doing a show here, and I'm going to go watch. I have another friend who's doing comedy on that same show. But I thought I have to record now because if I don't, it just won't get done. Even as I'm speaking to you, my eyes have closed. Maybe you can hear the timbre of my voice has lowered a little bit. I've lulled myself to sleep. That's how boring my description of this vacation, it's not really a vacation, working vacation has been, combined with the somnambulant, sleepy effects of travel, and I am just not with it. Plus, I had a beer. We're walking around Edinburgh. It's a gorgeous town if you've never been here. It looks just like you think it's going to look. Big stone buildings, you know, they look like they were constructed over the last several hundred years, and wide roads, you know, which is kind of nice, and everything's very picturesque. The landscape you can see beyond, kind of hilly and gorgeous, and you know, you're walking by kilt makers and pubs and street performers, because, you know, it's the Fringe Festival here. That's why I'm here, to go see shows at the Fringe Festival and do a little performing myself. And everybody's got flyers that they're handing out. Come see my show. Hey, have you heard about this person? He's got a fabulous review in Time Out London. And, oh, the Guardian loves this person here. And you got to see this person. And I'm thinking to myself, nah. Even though, like, I'm here to see shows, you know, as soon as they start selling themselves, I'm like, nah. My friend Janine Garofalo is doing a show here. Didn't know she was here till I showed up, and going to go see her tomorrow night, I think. And Chris Gethard is here. Going to go to try see him. And Christopher Titus is here. I think I might try to go see him. And all kinds of people doing shows here at Edinburgh. Seems like a perfectly good place to come if you want to do a show. I'm thinking the trip will have been worth it once I get over the exhausted stage. And, you know, once I'm convinced that I'm not going to contract anything from this Airbnb. It's nice, you know, it's nice to have adventures. It's one of the reasons we had kids when we were still relatively young. We thought, well, the kids will be out of the house and we'll still be young enough where we can go off and have adventures. And it seems like that's kind of the case. You know, like I said, we're going to Rome in a few weeks. Never been there. And, you know, I'm on the road a lot, doing stuff. When I say doing stuff on the road, that mostly means hanging out in hotel rooms, you know, sleeping. But it's almost like an adventure because it's like a different Westin, you know, from week to week. But it's nice, you know, just kind of living your life and seeing new things and experiencing new places and hanging out with different people and going to different KFCs all over the world. It's exciting. Have not seen a KFC since I've been in Edinburgh. In fact, no American fast food that I can think of other than Starbucks, which is nice to see. It's a good relief. And if I can get out of here, out of this town, without being sideswiped by a car because I'd crossed the wrong way, you know, without looking the right way, that'll be a small miracle in and of itself. That long pause that you're hearing, you may have heard the exhalation of breath as I was talking. That is the last of my energy escaping from my body. So, you know, it's a short little check-in. I'm so sorry I forgot the book like an idiot. Feel terrible about it. Wasn't my intention. I thought it'll be fun, you know, to read a American novel from the old country. But it wasn't meant to be. So I guess, you know, I'll just kind of wrap it up. I'll be here for like a week. I may have to record another episode from here. Maybe what I'll do is maybe I will cheat. Maybe I will get the PDF, you know, and pick up where I was. And we'll just have to agree that it's okay to cheat. Because you can't keep taking weeks off like that, Michael. You know, you committed to reading this book. You might, well, by golly, you're going to read the book. So I don't know if you guys have been traveling this summer. I hope you have been. I hope you've been getting out and doing cool things and having adventures and experiences and maybe catching up with old friends, maybe making new friends. I don't know what you're doing. I hope it's fun. I hope you're not just sitting there with your nose buried in the classic works of literature of our age. You know, you got to get your head out of the books, you know, and into the clouds every once in a while. I know you're doing that. You're a fleet-footed people, you know. You're out there running around doing stuff. And I applaud you for it. I applaud all of you. That's the beer talking. Anyhow, like I said, I'm sorry. I know it's a short little check-in episode. It's just going to have to do for now. We'll pick it up next time on another, Highlandian, broguish, kilt wearing. You hear all that noise? Just terrible. Noisy episode of Obscure. But until then, I wish you adieu. This season of Obscure is produced by me, Michael Ian Black, and Robin Lynn. Our theme music is by Craig Wedren. If you listen and like the show, please help us out with a rating and a review. We want to be obscure, but not that obscure. It's an easy way to support the show. Thanks.